The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Wow, am I having such fun listening to that song and hearing NBS, and there's so many commercials I can think of. Do you remember the one? I think it was Wimpy. Was I love it when you speak foreign to me.
I forgot about that. In fact, we've been asking our listeners. We've come out with some amazing ones. It's not on side, it's on top.
Kephora.
Exactly. Painting again, Bob. There's a lot. I mean, they've come out with, our listeners have been unbelievable. They've really remembered so many of them. It's incredible. How about Twally for Twally? Anyway, right, Rolene, talking about things a little bit more serious, the IDF forces have killed one of the terrorists responsible for the murder of Rabbi Raziel Shavak. Tell us about this.
Well, last night, the special forces went into Jenin and found the two terrorists responsible for the murder of Rabbi Raziel Shavak, who was killed over a week ago. One was killed. There are rumors that there were two killed, but we know definitely confirmed that one was killed. We also know that two soldiers sustained serious injuries, so we send refuah shlema out to them, but we have caught the perpetrators responsible for the brutal shooting of Rabbi Raziel Shavak.
Absolutely terrible. And, of course, as important as it is to catch him, unfortunately, doesn't really help the family at all as they mourn for the loss of their father and husband. UNRWA chief appeals to international community. Belgium offers $23 million. What's going on here?
Well, as you can well imagine, that UNRWA is really on the back foot now because President Trump has literally put his money where his mouth is and has withheld $65 million of the $125 million budget that the United States pays to UNRWA annually. And UNRWA are supposed to provide humanitarian aid to Palestinian refugees and also refugees in Syria, Lebanon, and Jordan. But we know from the way that perhaps it is the way that UNRWA is managed or where the funds are funneled, that the money is going towards the incitement of hatred against Jews and Israel, that schools are used for weapons, etc., etc. So America is withholding funds. And the Director General of UNRWA, Pierre Kachenboom, has appealed to other countries to pick up the shortfall. And we know that Belgium is one of those countries that has said that they will in turn donate $23 million. So as you can well imagine, organizations like NGO Monitor and other organizations who monitor the funding of these NGOs, and especially United Nations NGOs, will probably be filing those reports quite vehemently with countries like Belgium to say, you need to be aware of where your money goes. We know that Denmark and Norway have decided that they are going to withhold funds from NGOs that support Palestinian terrorism or attempts to boycott and delegitimize the state of Israel. And UNRWA and its activities, especially allowing for the education of hatred, fits into this category of calling for the delegitimization of Israel. So watch this space. This is going to be interesting to see whether or not more countries either follow Trump or follow Belgium.
Yeah, and one obviously really does hope that the other countries see the sense in curtailing the aid unless it is used for the right purpose. It's incredible to me that places like Belgium don't join the dots and see how much of these funds are being used for terror activities versus that which they are meant to be used for.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's ignorance or wishful thinking, but they assume that the money that they are donating or allocating is going towards humanitarian needs. But they need to be made very, very, very well aware that the money goes anywhere but towards humanitarian aid.
The Israel-India spike deal. Now, this one, was this the deal that was off the table and it was withdrawn and cancelled? Now it seems to be back on. Tell us what's happening here.
Yes, so this has been a tremendous visit for Netanyahu in India. Not only has Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister of India, shown our Prime Minister some serious love, but the people of India have come out into the street in their droves, showing their love for our Prime Minister and the delegation that is with him. And he's not just taking members of the defense industry with him. He's also taking businessmen, leaders in tech, also leaders in water technology, Howard, also very, very important. India is another country that faces a potential catastrophic drought. And
I wasn't aware of that, actually.
We know that recently I think it was $500 million spike missile deal was taken off the table or cancelled. This was a deal with Rafael Defense in Israel, and apparently part of the delegation are members from Rafael Defense Industries, and it has been confirmed that that deal very, very much is still on.
How is this all being reported in Israel? Is it being given the credit? Is Netanyahu being given the credit that he deserves over this trip? Because when I was there last week or 2 weeks ago, one got the sense that the public, the Israeli public, was getting a little impatient with Netanyahu. There was almost the sense that it was time for him to move on. But this trip is unequivocally phenomenal for Israel. Does he get that recognition?
Well, it is getting a lot of press coverage. Whether or not all the kavod or the kudos are going to Netanyahu, that remains to be seen. It's more seen as a successful Israel-India trip than necessarily a Netanyahu-India trip. So that's more or less the angle that the press is giving it here. But you are within Israeli society who have decided that perhaps it is time for Prime Minister Netanyahu to end his leadership, and it's maybe time for new blood and for fresh leadership. And it's very interesting to watch the major leaders of political parties kind of jostle, because we are expected to probably go to elections either later this year or sometime next year. And I would wager a bet we will see the politicking starting sometime very, very soon.
Is there an idea as to who would be the perfect successor from within Likud?
There hasn't been any firm decision who would be the perfect successor from Likud, but very, very much public politicians such as Yair Lapid are wondering what their chances of possibly becoming prime minister could be. So there's a strong contender in Yair Lapid, and we'll have to see when the Likud party goes to primary, who will emerge as a serious, serious contender to the Netanyahu throne.
Yair Lapid is making a lot of inroads into Israeli politics and into Israeli public consciousness, isn't he?
He is. You know, the Yesh Atid party was, it's a... made an election, very much was the little party that could. Mm-hmm. They performed a lot better than anybody could have predicted, even themselves. And even though they took a bit of a drop in the last election, their profile is growing, the profile of Yair Lapid is growing, and it's also very interesting to watch where they position themselves internationally. Netanyahu's party is seen as very, very much to the right, and I've noticed a lot of center-based parties positioning themselves as center to slightly right, just so that they can tap in to that Likud electorate.
Fascinating. Michael from Galamana, Rolene, saying, I watched BBC yesterday. They showed a number of clinics and schools complaining that they can't survive without US money. It was a very emotive slam at the unfeeling and arrogant Trump.
Well, you know, the problem is that those Palestinian or not refugees from other countries that would benefit from UNRWA deserve the benefit. They deserve to receive the funding. However, the problem lies with UNRWA. The problem lies with how they are managing their funds. And you know that their spokesperson, Chris Gunness, who's often asked, especially on social media, whether or not... or rather, why hospitals are either closing or schools are closing or The people are demanding answers for some of the issues they have with UNRWA, and I'm not saying Israelis, I'm saying Palestinian people. He doesn't answer them. So I think maybe there needs to be a shift in either the hierarchy at UNRWA or the upper echelons at UNRWA, or the money needs to go to, as Debbie says, the UNHRC, so that that money can be distributed equally for all refugees. You know, why specifically do we need an UNRWA? Or there needs to be much more stringent governance from the international community on exactly what is being taught in UNRWA schools.
Absolutely, because the reality is that a large percentage of the money that comes in goes absolutely nowhere near any of these humanitarian organizations. The Cat in the Hat is to perform in Israel.
The Cat in the Hat, and I know everybody's thinking, Dr. Sue.
That's what I thought, I have to tell you.
But no, London-based jazz artist Jamiroquai, I don't know if you remember him, Howard. He performs with all kinds of very, very interesting hats, and because he's a jazz musician, he's called the Cat. So he's the Cat in the Hat. I mean, you must remember songs like Too Young to Die and
yes.
Blow Your Mind.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so he's coming to, so while he might have more hits than Royal, you know, not to take a stab at a certain somebody who cancelled because at 21 she is an expert on foreign policy, we are starting to see the international acts start to line up for the summer. So once again, the summer's going to be rocking in Israel, starting with the first man of funk himself, Jamiroquai.
Absolutely fantastic. Time is 5:52. That's where we leave it. That's your Israel Report for today, and in fact for the week on your afternoon with Howard Feldman. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency. Rolene, we wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and I believe you are expecting rain again in Israel. Some warnings going out for the Jerusalem area. Is Modi Inn affected as well?
Modi Inn is usually affected when Jerusalem is affected. I mean, you were here a couple of weeks ago for the storm of all storms, and while people in Tel Aviv barely registered a wind, we had zero visibility in Modi Inn, and were actually, in fact, warned about being on the streets and making sure that we were sorted out with provisions for the weekend.
So are you expecting quite an intense weekend again this week?
We are expecting an intense weekend, not as intense as it was several weeks ago, but temperatures have dropped significantly and the wind has picked up. So we are expected to have at least a very, very, very cold weekend.
Well, let's hope that cold comes with a lot of much-needed rain. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, and of course that is brought to you by the Blue Agency.